Baltimore's chief prosecutor has charged six police officers in the April 12th death of Freddie Gray, the 25-year-old black man who died of a spinal injury a week after he was arrested under what the prosecutor is now calling false pretenses. A separate FBI investigation is ongoing, but here's what police have said publicly. Gray, who was already wearing handcuffs after his arrest, was placed in leg shackles while inside a prisoner transport van. He was not wearing a seatbelt, however, and he was apparently injured while riding unsecured in the van. The prosecutor's decision has been hailed by many. If only that decision had come down more quickly, the chaos that followed Gray's death might have been avoided. The violence began after Gray's funeral, when peaceful protests spiraled into something else altogether. On a day that should have been about a family attempting to heal, chaos ensued, and the family was forced to lay aside their grief to beg a fractured city for calm. And as protests turned to riots and riots turned to looting, the family's attempt to bring order from chaos failed. I believe that's because Gray's death represented the scores of black men who have died at the hands of police. It represented, in many ways, an opportunity to strike back. Be it right or wrong, there is a simmering frustration in some corners of the black community, and the prevalence of cell phone video and vast social networks have caused it to boil over, especially in the case of Freddie Gray. Police cars were smashed and burned. Young men threw bricks at police. And while there are those who can't comprehend that kind of communication, those who've suffered oppression understand it well. When people are impacted by aggressions as serious as killings and as seemingly innocuous as insults, when they are constantly singled out for discriminatory treatment by everyone from store clerks to police officers, when they live every day knowing their lives are less valued than the lives of others, people feel invisible. They feel silenced. But oppressed people won't remain silent forever. And so they riot. A riot, Martin Luther King once said, is the language of the unheard. And while rioting isn't a language I've ever chosen to speak, it is a language I can readily interpret. Through their rioting, the young people of Baltimore said they won't stand still to be murdered by police or anyone else. And while there were those, both young and old, who joined in the chaos for the sole purpose of looting, I believe we can avoid future riots by creating an atmosphere in which words are heard, action is taken, and circumstances change. Because people who are oppressed will speak out one way or another, and riots are the language of the unheard. I'm Solomon Jones.